Tonight, the J-Files are aptly named, because the subject matter is the work of Jay Maskus. The leader of the now-defunct Dinosaur Jr., Maskus has just released a great solo album and is set to tour Australia once again. Jay will talk tonight about his music and his love of golf.
I won this club championship because there was no one else in my age group. I played a guy from like 11 to 14, but we both got trophies in because there's no one else opposing us.
We'll also speak to some major fans and take your requests, which can be made now on 1-800-055-36.
The J-Files.
Hi, this is Dave from Sunbury, one of the most dinosaur genery towns in Victoria, and I just wanted to request Out There from their awesome album, Where You Been from 93, and I wanted to request this song on the J-Files because this is always the song that makes me feel better when I'm having girl trouble. Thanks for watching. See ya.
love the music of Jay Maskus. He's one of the few singers I can do a passable imitation of. That is out there from the 1993 Dinosaur Jr. album, Where You Been? Perhaps their most successful album during their career as well. It was their fifth studio album, and it reached the top 10 in the UK, and it also made the top 50 on the US charts as well. And that was also a net request. That track out there was also requested tonight on the J-Files guestbook by Trav. G'day, Kingsmill with you tonight, looking at the career of Dinosaur Jr., which, in a recording sense, lasted from 1985 to 1997. They put out seven albums all up, and their leader, Jay Maskus, just recently has put out a solo album called More Light. And to coincide with that new release, he's touring Australia once again. The tour details will come tonight on the J-Files, but it kicks off towards the end of next week. So tonight, it's good timing. We're going to get all those fans of Jay's work to get revved up for this forthcoming solo tour. And there's plenty of space for requests too. So if you want to join us at any stage with any good stories about Jay Maskus too, not just requests, but any good stories or any good factual details, let us know on 1-800-055-36. In just a moment, I'll let you know what the J stands for as well.
G'day, this is Steve calling from Adelaide, and I'd like to request Yeah We Know off the Bug album, which has got to be one of the best eras in Dinosaur and J Maskus time. Thanks for the J file. Cheers, see ya.
Out of control.
When did you start playing guitar?
I tried to play guitar a little bit, maybe when I was 10. Then I gave it up and played drums up until I was like 17. Then I started playing guitar.
Mm. You still play drums pretty consistently these days, don't you, on your records?
Yeah. Yeah, I still feel like a drummer at heart.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How does that...
I feel more just related to drumming, or it seems easier for me. It seems more natural, you know. Maybe just the tribal urges of pounding, you know, on drums in the jungle or something. It's more of a satisfying feeling.
The J-Files.
Hi, it's Charmaine calling from Evansville, and I'd really like to hear Get Me. And it's for all the old people that are still singing along to this song. Thanks very much, Seth.
I don't see you, I won't call you. I don't know enough to stall you. Is it me or is it all you? Guess it's on and on. On a day maybe I'd show you, but it's the least of all I go through. But the thing is, I don't know you, and it's on and on.
And that song on the J-Files tonight, also requested by Keisha in Sydney, and that version of Get Me by Dinosaur Jr. was recorded live in the BBC studios in the UK on the 24th of November 1992, and by that stage of the band's career, Mike Johnson had become a permanent member of the group and was one of a few constants in the lineup of Dinosaur Jr. for their career. And before Get Me, you heard Yeah We Know from the wonderful 80s album by Dinosaur Jr. called Bug. Some more biographical information about Jay Maskus. He was born in Amherst, a town in the state of Massachusetts in the United States. He was born on the 10th of December in 1965. What does the J stand for? The J actually stands for Joseph. That's his real first name. He started out in 83 as a drummer for a hardcore punk band called Deep Wound. Also in the lineup of Deep Wound was Lou Barlow. He was playing guitar in the group at that stage. They put out at the end of 1983 a 7-inch EP, and after that, Jay moved away from the drums and he took centre stage behind the microphone, and he also picked up the guitar. Lou then moved to the bass and they added a drummer. His name was Murph, real name Emmett Patrick Murphy. They changed their name then to Dinosaur, and their self-titled debut album came out in 1985, and it was within a couple of years of that release that they then added the Junior to their name, because there was a West Coast veteran group called Dinosaur featuring ex-members of Janis Joplin's band and also Country Joe and the Fish, and they objected to the young band coming along with the same name, so that's where the Junior part came into the career. In just a moment, we'll speak to a major Australian Jay Maskus fan, that being James Straker. But before we get to James, one of the terrific things about the music of Dinosaur Jr. and also Jay Maskus is the guitar sounds, of course. If you could try to equate it with anything, it's like standing on the tarmac at an airport and the jet plane is about 10 feet in front of you.
Never be grateful, son, it's you.
the J-Files tonight. Jay Maskus there. And the Fog, and part of the Fog being Kevin Shields, one-time leader of My Bloody Valentine. From the new solo release by Jay Maskus called More Light, that track is Same Day on Triple J. Now, James Straker used to play guitar with Brisbane band The Melnicks. These days he's part of the management team for Magic Dirt. And way back in 1995, when Dinosaur Jr. toured Australia, Magic Dirt were actually the support band for the national run of dates. And I spoke to James Straker, who is a major Dinosaur Jr. fan and Jay Maskus fan. I spoke to him about what he reckons of this new release.
I really like it. I have liked every record that Dinosaur Jr. have put out. It's, I guess, noisier in parts, probably, than the last couple of releases. A little more frenetic in parts as well. But it's kind of weird when I hear people say, oh, you know, oh, I like this Dinosaur Jr. album and I didn't like that one. I can't see the massive, you know, it's... for me, anyway, if when I like Dinosaur Jr., I like everything they do. I
mean, yeah. What, from album to album, the sort of the sound and the style didn't really change that much?
Well, obviously, I think the styles... I mean, there's definitely a part where probably, I guess, when he and Lou Barlow split different ways, that maybe, you know, Jay sort of took on a little more of that country feel in parts, and maybe a little more melody and a little more structure in songs. But to me, it always just sounds like Dinosaur Jr. I mean, it's the same with bands like Sonic Youth. I think, you know, there's an integral part of the sound from album to album. There's changes in direction, changes in probably recording techniques, but there's always that core sound that it is Dinosaur Jr.
What is the core sound of Jay Maskus especially? Can you sort of put it into words?
Melody and distortion.
Melody and distortion. It is pretty much that, isn't it?
For me, it is. It's just, I've always liked heavy music, and Dinosaur Jr. for me was that perfect combination of heavy music but with these really pretty vocals at times and beautiful guitar lines, and I guess just a little thinking a little more, I guess, maybe. Not, it's heavy but not necessarily outwardly aggressive.
Mm. He's always got a head full of great melodies, and that comes across in his singing, but also the guitar sounds. Is that sort of like a major attraction?
Very much. I guess that's why he's probably ended up hooking up with Kevin Shields from My Bloody Valentine as well, just that amazing layering. I mean, as a sort of frustrated songwriter, I could always only sort of think in two dimensions of a song, of a verse and a chorus, a rhythm guitar and a lead guitar, and that's it. And he seemed to have that ability to literally layer in some parts just dozens of guitars into it, and it didn't sound cluttered, it just sounded fantastic. There's one part at the beginning of the first song of Where You've Been where you can pan all the stereo speaker right to the right hand side, and it's just this mess of noise, an absolute just a distortion, and it's crazy. And then you pan it back to the centre again of the speakers, and you can't hear it anymore because it's blended in perfectly with the rest of the song.
Yeah, but the thing is that he obviously has the big picture in mind because he does so much of the work himself.
Yeah, well, I guess that's probably the funniest thing, is that I sort of see him being a bit like Dave Grohl, a bit of a perfectionist, and in his mind he can picture exactly how a song sounds, and maybe no one else can really live up to that. I think that's maybe why he ends up doing so much of the drumming and the bass playing and the guitars and everything all himself.
Do you think there might be a communication problem as well?
He's a quiet talker, that's for sure. He always, obviously playing shows with them and sort of seeing them in other places and doing other things, it's that lean in. You have to sort of lean in and listen to him. It's bizarre.
So it's not just in interviews, it's in real life as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean...
What do you make of a character like that? Is he seriously that vague for real?
That's a hard one. You just never know whether it's put on or whether it's just simply how he is. I mean, at the same time, it's a person who, you know, seems so quiet and listless, or, you know, unenergetic, goes scuba diving and goes skiing and plays golf. And so, you know, there's definitely physical activity there, which is... And then that's what I've always liked about it as well. You know, this really quiet little guy suddenly just explodes, this furious sound that comes off stage.
Yeah, it's not unlike, you know, I mean, he's definitely the outdoor type.
Exactly. Actually, he is that one.
Yeah, he is. He actually, it's a contradiction, really. Have you got any good stories about Jay?
Played golf with him a couple of times, which was great. I wouldn't say he's a great golfer, but he's very consistent, and that's one of the secrets of golf, is just being consistent. The first time I played golf with him was in when they toured in, I think, 95, when we actually ended up playing show with them and Magic Dirt. And I was, you know, like a nervous schoolgirl, just picking him up from the airport, and I was really, you know, a bit flustered because he's definitely one of my idols. And I'd never played golf before. I just went along because I wanted to play and check out his form. And my first tee shot went about 3 metres to the right. And I was like, I'm so embarrassed. And then my second tee shot went about 4 metres to the left. And I said, oh, look, guys, I'm not going to play, you know, I'm just wrecking your game. And he just, there was a bit of a pause, and he just said in that really quiet sort of drawl, oh man, you just got to keep trying. And I hit a great tee shot, and I've been playing golf ever since.
Oh wow, isn't that funny? And if he had been really down on you, you mightn't have picked up the clubs again at all.
Never, I would have been horrified, it was terrible, I was so embarrassed, but yeah, he was pretty relaxed about that.
And he can really drive the ball a long way?
Yeah, he's a good golf player. All parts of his game are good. His chipping, his putting.
All right, excellent. Have you got a favourite moment from his back catalogue?
A song called Raisins.
Okay, from the second album.
Yeah.
Why that one? Any reason? Sentimental value?
It just gives me the goosebumps. It gives me the shivers. It's just such great. It's just got that a great chorus in it, and it sort of, for me, sums up that really sad Jay lyric of, you know, unrequited love, which seems to be so many of his songs are about.
J-Files.
Stepping out, I try.
fix it. I pulled the thumb out of that hole. Give me ingredients, I'll mix it. How can you move without a goal? There never really is a good time. There's always nothing much to say. Pretty good not doing that fine. Getting up most every day. An excuse is all you're in for. All you crave. Sure you know just what is in store. Wait and see if I behave. There never really is a good. There's always nothing much to say. Pretty good not doing that fine. Getting up most every day. There's a time, just let me know now. When it's with you, I'll be glad. There never really is a good time.
On the Jay Maskus J Files tonight, that's a wonderful version of Thumb, a song which ended up on the Green Mind album. That acoustic version came out on the compilation of B-sides, which was released only in Australia. Came out in 1994 for Dinosaur Jr. The album itself was called Quest. And before that, back to their second album. First came out in 1987, the album You're Living All Over Me. And that track we play tonight for James Straker. Used to play guitar in the Melnicks, now works with the management team of Magic Dirt. And that was his request tonight, a track called Raisins. We mentioned before that Lou Barlow was an early friend and also played in the formation groups leading up to Dinosaur Jr. with Jay Maskus. He lasted working side by side with Jay in the band until 1988 when he split and set up his own group called Sebado. We'll hear a recording done live in New York City from 1988 in just a moment featuring Lou in the lineup of Dinosaur Jr. But before that, here is Lou actually speaking about working with certain people.
I find, like, with musicians especially, I mean, a lot of us, you know, are very communicationally challenged, you know, like, we're sort of, like, we don't really know how to express ourselves, like, verbally, which is, leads to the fact that we're musicians a lot, you know, and especially, like, not especially, but been my experience with the kind of music that we play, like, you know, sort of, like, indie rock, whatever, the sort of new, you know, rock music, it's like, all of our heroes were people who basically couldn't even talk, you know, like Kurt Cobain and people who didn't really know, didn't really have like portes in like communicating, like Jay Maskus, who I started Dinosaur Jr. with, you know. There's not a lot of communication about music going on, but just to even ask someone, do you like this? Do you not like it? Why don't you like it? What do you think could be better about it? To be able to ask that to somebody and then for them to tell you what they really think without worrying about hurting your feelings, and then you being able to have like this discourse about it, you know, like really discuss it and like really talk about what you want is really rare.
Lou Barlow there, talking about working with certain people, including Jay Maskus. Okay, here are Dinosaur Jr. in 1988 with Lou in the lineup still. This was recorded live in New York City.
Well, degrees in by your window. Please don't pat me on the head. I was trying to find out what you're nice to me for. When I look up, don't think I don't know about all the steps you tread. It's hard to stomach the cold. Don't have the patience to feel I'm off no more. In a jar with you, all I could do was lick your hand. In a jar, the scars are plain to see. I hope somehow you know why.
Live in New York City in 1988, and that version of In a Jar by Dinosaur Jr., taken from the J. Lou Murph CD, fairly rare CD or album to have in your collection, only came out for a few weeks and then it was sort of withdrawn from sale, and it was a show which Dinosaur Jr. performed in New York City for Italian radio in that year. On the J-Files tonight.
The J-Files.
What's your hearing like? That's another question I've always been meaning to ask you.
I don't know. Sorry.
You don't suffer from that ringing in the ears?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You do?
But it's like, you know, it's never not there, so I don't think about it. It's just the way life sounds.
Okay. And what, as far as long ago as you can remember, it's always been there?
Yeah. I don't remember, you know, what silence is exactly.
Yeah.
30 years ago by the Flying Burrito Brothers, and a track which Graham Parsons had a hand in writing way back when. Hot Burrito number 2, that version by Dinosaur Jr., came out on the B-side to the single Get Me. We'll play a few more B-sides because Jay's done some wonderful B-side work as well as obviously album work throughout his career. And before that, you heard the original version of The Wagon too. That was the Sub Pop 7-inch version, which came out in 1990. The track itself appeared as the opening moment to the Green Mind album the following year. In just a moment, we'll hear from Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, but we've got Sean on line from Adelaide right now. Hello, Sean.
G'day, Richard.
Jay's inspired you as a musician?
I would definitely say so. I mean, going back and buying his EP Without a Sound probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, I'm 20, nearly 26 now, a few grey hairs, and I reckon I was about 19 years old when I bought it, and just listened all the way through it, and I guess I expected the whole CD to be, obviously, the guitar thing was there. I'm a drummer myself, but the thing is that Jay has just got incredible, unpretentious style, indie sort of guitar swing, whatever you want to call it, and also with the laid-back, relaxed vocals, it sits really well. It's got a good balance to it.
Yeah, isn't that funny that you're a drummer? I mean, he started out as being a drummer as well, and yeah, he's
great too in the way he plays.
Yeah, well, he puts in the punctuation points just perfectly. I think that's the problem that a lot of drummers have had trying to play with him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I never actually got a chance to see Dinosaur Jr. live, and I guess I would have had a pretty high expectation watching the drummer, standing out in the crowd. But what he brings across on record is it just works really well with the rest of the band, the way that they actually form their songwriting.
Yeah, I think Jay would have had a high expectation factor as the drummer as well, given that that's how he started out his career. He actually thinks that he, essentially at heart, we'll hear this interview grab on the program, that, he feels like he is still instinctually a drummer at heart.
I think it's a great thing because I find playing with other musicians that are as into Dinosaur Jr. as I am, guitarists, I think if they have a bit of an innate understanding of how the drums actually sit in the music, it does make for a very rhythmic sound, and Dinosaur Jr. do have a very rhythmic sound to them.
Mm.
The way that Jay plays, he'll be very strumming on the guitar, and sometimes it's got to do with the way that the guitar is strummed in a way. It's hard for a three-piece because you've only got like Mike Johnson there playing, Murph behind the drums, and Jay. And just like watching the Year That Punk Broke, the video that they were in, I kind of paid attention to the way his strumming style, and he's a very, very rhythmic player. And then when he goes into the solo, he'll also stay on that tangent too, where Mike will play these really intricate sort of jazzy bass lines. And Murph, I mean, what can you say about Murph? I mean, a guy that sits there and says that, hair lice falls out all over his drum kit while he plays, and he's doing an interview with Lee Ronaldo. So, Jay, what do you think about, when you're up there playing drums? Well, I think about my room back home. And I related to that straight away because that's how I started, in my room, skipping school, playing drums, And I've got such a love for any music, and that for me is, a pretty special thing in the 90s anyway.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. He does come out, although he's kind of, slow with his quotes, he does come out with some classic quotes occasionally. And, returning back to where it all started, I guess, is a good analogy.
That's right, exactly.
You still playing music? You still in a band?
I am, yeah. I'm still playing in a little sort of synth pop group here in Adelaide called Tenderhook, who you've actually played a couple of times. Thank you, Richard.
That's okay.
New EP coming out soon. But I've got some friends of mine actually that play in a band here in Adelaide, and I want to dedicate this song to them. They play in a band in Adelaide called Yak Spit, and Heath, the lead singer, he's really got me into Dinosaur Jr. more than anyone. It's great to be able to relate with another musician on a band that you're just so passionate about, and you don't really get that very often. So, I want to dedicate this song to them, and he's also a player who's very rhythmic and, I guess it's hard for me to understand sometimes being a drummer. I mean, I do play guitar too, but when other drummers sort of say to me, this is what can make the music special, it's interesting for me to know those sort of facts. So it's, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it is good to have those conversations, isn't it, and to find those people in life.
It's great, and I've also seen it in bands like Blue Bottle Kiss and Scream Feeder and various other groups that you can just tell that they've taken something from Jay.
Yeah, big influence.
Exactly, and he's created it, and I don't think you'll ever really find another artist like him.
Okay. Sean, thanks for that.
Thank you, Richard.
And don't miss him. If you didn't catch Dinosaur Jr. live throughout their career, then Jay's coming to town. So
I'm going to see The Fog next Sunday at the Uni Bar. I'll be there.
Okay. Here's your track for you tonight.
Thanks, Richard.
See ya.
See ya.
Was called Yeah Right from the Dinosaur Jr. album of 94. Without a Sound, if you want to join us tonight on our Jay Masker special on the J Files, the number is 1-800-055-36.